Welcome to the September podcast for Neurosurgical Focus. I'm Natalie Pincham. The September issue is on the topic of cavernous malformations, pathophysiology, and therapeutic options. In this podcast, topic editor Dr. Daniel Barrow of Emory University, Atlanta, speaks with Dr. Yuan Zhu of the University of Duisburg-Essen in Essen, Germany. They discuss Dr. Zhu and colleagues' article, Differential Angiogenesis Function of CCM2 and CCM3 in Cerebral Cavernous Malformations, which appears in this month's issue of Neurosurgical Focus.
Dan Barrow from the Department of Neurosurgery at Emory University School of Medicine, and I had the pleasure of working with Dr. Stephen Giannotta from the University of Southern California to serve as co-editor for the volume on cavernous malformations that's coming out in Neurosurgical Focus. The reason that Dr. Giannotta and I felt that this was an important topic is that there has been such a rapid increase in our knowledge of cavernous malformations, really primarily stimulated by our ability to see them with magnetic resonance imaging. 25 years ago, the natural history of cavernous malformations was poorly understood. The imaging was quite unreliable. The role of surgery was controversial. Radiosurgery was untested. The nomenclature was confusing, and the genetics of the lesions were unexplored. The very rapid rise in our knowledge of these and our ability to explore the biology and the genetics has led us to understand that the familial form of cavernous malformation is an autosomal dominant disorder that's attributable to mutations, lost function mutations of one of three cavernous malformation genes. And I have the pleasure this evening of talking with Dr. Zhu from Essen, Germany, who has submitted a wonderful paper based upon their research looking at the crucial role of CCM genes in the pathogenesis of cavernous malformations. Dr. Zhu, could you tell us just what you think the most important aspects of this study that you're publishing are?
Yes, thank you very, very much. And I absolutely agree with you that the understanding of this pathogenesis has been tremendously developed in the last few years. And particularly, we have learned that CCM is a largely endothelial disease, and the CCM genes plays a crucial role in both vascular development and in CCM disease. And however, we have also recognized that the exact gene function and also the related signaling pathway are not yet fully understood. And also, current studies for the function of these genes are mostly carried out in healthy or commercial available healthy endothelial cells, and the results appeared somehow discrepant. So based on this, we have thought probably this is meaningful or valuable to study the gene function in a disease-related context. And also, this is very important to confirm the results obtained from healthy cells, which this is truly happened in diseased cells as well. So for this reason, we have established and also carefully characterized the endothelial cells prepared from CCM operative CBCM things of, this was obviously initiated 5 years ago. So we have carefully characterized the feature of these endothelial cells, and we have found really a unique antigenetic behavior in these cells, and also distinct genotype of these endothelial cells. And using these endothelials, we have found a real distinct response of these cells to CCM2 and 3 silencing. So we have thought this is might be a most significant or important issue reported in our paper. And we have found that most significant or distinct response of these cells is to the splitting process after silencing individual genes. And we have, as we have showed in our paper, a tremendous splitting process happened in exclusively in endothelial cells derived from CCMs after CCM3 gene silencing in a less extent happened to CCM2 or deleted cells. And in addition, CCM3 silencing also induced exclusively in CCMEC for migration activity. So this tells us this is very important to study the gene function in a disease-related context.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. A lot of the other work that has been done looking at the effects of silencing CCM genes has used other endothelial cells besides those that come from cavernous malformations. And I take it you believe that's one of the most important novel aspects of your research, is that you actually looked at the effect on endothelial cells from cavernous malformations from patients.
Yes, because one idea came to our mind that the unique property or behavior of the endothelial cells derived from CCM operative species also indicated probably this property serves as an endothelial mechanism for the pathogenesis of CCM. And we have noted that CCM gene deleted animal models, none of them induced sufficient vascular lesion in brain or in animal brain. Mm-hmm. So in this case, we have thought probably the nature of endothelial cells from CCM patients may deliver somehow kind of endothelial pathogenetic background and serve as an endothelial mechanism.
That's interesting. One of the other things I noticed about your paper is that the endothelial cells you used for your experiments that came from cavernous malformations all came from patients with a sporadic form of the disease.
Yes.
Do you have any plans to do the same set of experiments in endothelial cells from patients with the familial form of the disease?
Yeah, the reason why we choose sporadic cases for preparation of endothelial cells is first, sporadic case accounts for the major. So we have more possibility to prepare endothelial cells. And the secondary, this has been commonly accepted that CCM gene mutation is rarely happened in sporadic CCM with single lesion. So if we prepare the cells from such cases, which could ensure us to use a relative homogeneous genetic background cells for putative functional study of CCM genes. And of course, it's also highly interesting to study directly the gene function using endothelial cells derived from family cases. And however, CCM itself is already a rare disease, and the family case accounts only for around 20% of the total. So practically, we have really less chance to get the material. But anyway, I think this is we have advantage as a research group in the Department of Neurosurgery. In the future, definitely, we would like to try to collect more materials from family cases.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
One of the other questions I had is you explored various activities of the CCM2 and CCM3 genes when silenced, looking at proliferation assays, migration, tube formation, apoptosis. Why did you not study the CCM1 gene?
We did. And I think we have mentioned in our cover letter to the editor, we tried to initial work was carried out with CCM1 gene silencing. And the results are already summarized together with characterization of antigenetic activity of CCMEC. These results are summarized for submission already. This is right now in the review process. We tried to submit two papers to this special issue in Neurosurgical Focus. Unfortunately, we missed the data submission deadline.
We look forward to that publication in the near future, because that would be very interesting as well.
Yeah, definitely. These three genes, namely CCM1, 2, 3, they showed distinctly different antigenetic activity in different key steps of antigenesis. This were, I hope, the results will be soon published as well.
Well, that's a very important point, that the three genes, when silenced, have very, very different effects on the endothelium. And we know that all three of the CCM genes and proteins are expressed in a variety of cell types. They're in neurons, astrocytes, endothelium. What do you think this kind of work will be able to do to help us understand the development of the normal vasculature of the central nervous system?
Basically, I think the current concept is that CCM1, 2, 3 proteins, they present in a complex, and therefore they share some common signaling pathway. And this concept is initially based on the co-immunoprecipitation of these proteins, but in my understanding, this does not rule out the presence of free form of individual proteins. And later on, this idea was supported by the findings that deletion of individual CCM protein or genes impaired a common signaling. A typical example is that the CCM, after deletion of individual genes, impaired their barrier function, commonly through a Rho kinase pathway. However, in our study, we have found a distinct antigenetic function of individual genes. So very impressive and very high antigenetic activity was found in after CCM3 silencing. So these findings, I would say, in correlated to the clinical presentation, that the earlier age onset, as well as a more frequent de novo formation in CCM3 mutated CCM carriers. And in comparison to CCM3, the antigenetic activity after CCM2 silence is really not that much as CCM3. And we haven't seen any change in proliferation and migration activity. Meanwhile, we have saw the impairment of the tube structure after certain time of CCM2 silencing. This does not happen to CCM3. So probably CCM2 plays more role or had more impact in the cell junction function. This is in agreement with the current literature, where they also found the majority function of CCM2 in cell junction.
Wonderful. Many of the people that are working on the biology of cavernous malformation strongly suspect there may be a fourth gene that when mutated may also contribute to the familial form. Have you done any work in that area or have any thoughts about that?
No, currently we are focusing on the function and the related signaling pathway of CCM1, 2, and 3.
Wonderful. Well, Dr. Zhu, we thank you for taking the time to chat with us and for contributing such a wonderful paper that represents outstanding work, and we wish you and your colleagues the very best in your efforts to help unravel the mysteries of what you have described, I think, very accurately as an endothelial disease that is fascinating and that challenges neurosurgeons and our patients. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
This concludes our podcast for the September issue of Neurosurgical Focus. Thank you for listening. Please join us for the October issue, when the topic will be acromegaly. For more information on how to submit your research to Neurosurgical Focus or to see a list of upcoming topics, please visit thejns.org and click on Neurosurgical Focus. Comments on this podcast can be sent to jnspodcast@thejns.org.